This is the day that the Lord has made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Lord, direct our thoughts, help us to pray, and lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Spirit of God fills the whole world.
Amen.
The processional hymn, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Welcome, everybody, to this family service on this Sunday before the penitential season of Lent, a day in which traditionally we focus our thoughts on the transfiguration of our Lord and also on the work of the Church Missionary Society in Ireland. And we are delighted to welcome back as our special preacher this morning, the Reverend Roger Thompson, no stranger to our congregation, but who will be encouraging us in our support of the work of the Missionary Society in the days ahead, hopefully as effectively as we have tried to do in times past. But firstly, we bring before God our sins in thought, word, and deed as we confess them and seek grace to do better. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have often been selfish, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are forgiven, your sins are gone. Be strong in the Holy Spirit and live for God. Amen. Let us praise God for his mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The hymn, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." Almighty Father, whose Son was revealed in majesty before he suffered death upon the cross, give us grace to perceive his glory, that we may be strengthened to suffer with him and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 9, beginning at the second verse. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Oh, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked round, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them not to tell anyone about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The hymn, "Here in this holy time and place, transfigured Lord."
Thank you.
be seated. Yes, please do come down. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we worship you on this day when we remember your transfiguration. We come before you like Peter, not knowing what to say, but asking for your help as we listen to your word and apply it to our lives. For your glory we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Robert, for inviting me back. It's a great pleasure to be here with you in Anahilt. I was driving earlier in the beautiful sunny morning, coming from Legacurry direction, and I hadn't been this way before, and the church seemed to rise up out of the hills as I drove. So it's a beautiful church, and a great pleasure to be here. And I work, my name's Roger Thompson, and I work for the Church Mission Society, Ireland. And it's my privilege to represent CMS with partnerships connecting churches here in Ireland with churches in other parts of the world. And today we're thinking particularly about Nepal, whom you have been supporting for a number of years now. And my theme for today is teamwork and how important it is for us to work together here, for our friends in Nepal to work together, and for all of us across the world to work together. And later on in the Akron Hamlet Church, I'll be doing a wee children's story, so that's why that picture's there that illustrates the thing. These are some of the people I would have met when I visited Nepal, a farmer, and this lady here, Goma, is a member of a church in Nepal, and as you can see, the church you support, Sundadoka Church, helps people with disabilities, people in wheelchairs. And the first lesson that I want to draw from the reading today, which I can just find here, is about the need to help each other. That's what teamwork's all about. And the beginning of the reading says this: 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. Now, sometimes I wonder what the biblical writers were thinking when they wrote things. So 6 days later, why did Mark bother to record how many days later it was that this event happened? Well, if you turn back to what happened before, and I put my Bible somewhere up there, excuse me. So if you go back to chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel, you'll find what happened before, and obviously, in Mark's mind, when he was writing this, there's a connection between what just happened and what happened next. So at the end of Mark chapter 8, this is what happens. Jesus began to teach his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, and 3 days later he will rise to life." So Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, thinking about the events that were going to take place and which we'll be thinking about during Lent as we approach Easter and Good Friday. He was thinking about the coming suffering that he would have to go through. So how do you think he felt at that particular time? Was he happy-go-lucky? Apprehensive. I'm sure he was. And this, I believe, is why he took with him Peter and James and John. Jesus, although he was the Son of God, was also the Son of Man. He was a human, God in human form. So he experienced apprehension, anxiety, just as we do. And just as we do, he knew he needed the support of friends. So he took with him three people who went up the mountain with him, and they wanted to be there for him. That's such an important principle in mission. And it's such an important principle in Nepal with the Sundardoka Sati Sewa project, that they help people, particularly people with disabilities. And two people that I met a few years ago when I visited is this gentleman here, Babu Kaji, and his son, Bikash. And you might notice Babu Kaji is in a wheelchair. I think I may have spoken about him before. He is a paraplegic. He suffered an accident when he was in his 20s and when his son was only a baby. And later in life, he grew up and became a Christian. He became a Christian while in hospital, Babu Kaji, being... I was talking with a lady about Darjeeling and how the medical people used to help people in India and then came across to Nepal. Well, Babu Kaji was one of those persons who got helped in a hospital by a Scottish missionary, a physiotherapist. And through his ministry, Babu Kaji became a Christian. And when his son grew up, he also became a Christian. They were Hindus before. And they're such a lovely family, and their passion is to help people with disabilities. And I showed you earlier Goma, that's Babu Kaji's wife, Bikash's mum. And they've spent their whole lives leading a church and helping people with disabilities with that charity, Sundardoka Sati Sewa, which means beautiful gate, serving friends, from the story in the Bible of Peter and John helping the man by the beautiful gate, the temple. So that's them. That's Bikash. He married Bijata, and they have two children, Bishesh, I'm not very good at Nepali, and Bisheshta. And I got to know them. He became a friend of mine. He's got a wonderful personality. There he is again during COVID, where they set up a rehabilitation center for people who were very sick with COVID. They looked after them, particularly those with disabilities. They put ramps up into the hospital to make sure that people could get in and out. And these two here have just been given the all clear. They've recovered, and they've been presented with a scarf, a special scarf, some flowers, and a little speech was made before they went home. I thought that was a lovely way for someone to leave hospital, a bit like ringing the bell at the hospice, that sort of thing. So Bikash was that kind of person, really kind and helpful, and also a sense of humour. I got a big hug when I was there a few years ago. But tragically, and I was explaining this to the gentleman just as I was before the service began, tragically, during the COVID epidemic, Bikash himself contracted COVID, and you might have noticed he's quite a large person, a little overweight, and I think that didn't help him. And he was one of those very unfortunate ones where the virus took hold, and it gave him terrible pneumonia, and after about 2 months in hospital, he sadly died. And that was a terrible time in 2020 for everyone who knew him, especially his family, obviously, but all his friends as well. And at that point, Bijata here, who you can see looking very downcast, as you might imagine, bringing up the two children on her own, she brought in her brother, Devraj, who came in to help with the work. And after a period of mourning, she said to me over the phone, "We want to carry on. We want to remember my husband and carry on his caring ministry, helping other people with disabilities." And on this occasion, people from all around Ireland gathered on Zoom to pray for them. You can see there Reverend Scott MacDonald from Newry, Jake Mercer from Glendormley. This lady is in Larne, curate in Larne. These two are members of Dundella Parish, Newry. And your prayers too, I'm sure at that time, were praying for people in Nepal. That's such an important part of helping. And Bijata now, I would say, is one of the most radiant people I know. She still hurts, she's still grieving, but she also has dedicated herself to helping people with disabilities. And this project here, this gentleman here, is a mechanic, and he's repairing wheelchairs. The first
wheelchair repair place in the whole of Kathmandu. And they're repairing hundreds of wheelchairs now to help people with disabilities. And there's some of them piled up outside the workshop. And the next thing she told me about was they're organizing the National Wheelchair Basketball Championship, because Bikash had a passion for people with disabilities to have a full and joyful life. So they're organizing this thing, and it's on the 3rd and 4th of March, which is the second anniversary of Bikash's death. And to remember him, they're having this tournament. And Anna Hilt has kindly given £1,000 to CMS, and this is part of your regular giving, and that's what the money is going to go towards, to help lay on this for 15 teams of men and women playing basketball together. And at the same time, the Christian faith will be shared as well. It's always part of their ministry. So thank you so much for your generosity and for the way that is helping. Just as Peter, James and John helped Jesus, we have a role to help our brothers and sisters. And here we've got a nice picture here. Robert can't see it, but I've got a nice... Oh, you can? Okay. I don't know. I think that's at Macra Hamlet, isn't it? Or is that here? Oh, it's here. So who are the two people? Oh, hello. Now, I couldn't remember, but were you church wardens at one time? No, you were just meant... What?
At one stage.
Well, that's the point I wanted to make, that Robert needs helpers. We all need helpers, but particularly in a church. You need people to come alongside, and I met two lovely gentlemen, Stephen, and I forgot the other gentleman's name.
David.
So important to have those people. We've got Tim here playing for us. We've got the choir singing for us. Later on, there'll be tea and coffee at the other church. People involved. Help. We all need those helpers. It's so important in the church. And soon there'll be an Easter vestry, no doubt, and Robert will be ringing people up and saying, could you? And you might think, oh, I don't know, I can't do that. But you can. It's amazing what you can do. And just maybe today is an opportunity to think, well, how can I join in and help Robert and help the church, just as we help those in Nepal? And there's the lunch that we'll be going to later in Macra Hamlet. And that raises money too, and all your gifts are so helpful to those in Nepal. So the second lesson, first lesson is be ready to help. Second lesson is be ready to talk. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And why do you think Elijah and Moses came to talk with Jesus? It doesn't explain in Mark, but if you look up the same account in Matthew, in Luke, I think it's in Matthew as well, you'll hear a little bit more detail. And there they talked to him about the way he was going to die. That was the subject of their conversation. In other words, Jesus was apprehensive. I believe he was apprehensive. And he heard from Elijah and Moses encouraging words. You're going to go through an exodus. That's the word in Greek. So Moses had the experience of leading the people through the Red Sea and through the desert, the terrible long years and suffering that involved. And he was saying, look, you're going to go through another exodus when you go through the cross, but you will rise again. And Elijah, if you remember, was taken up to heaven in a chariot after suffering terribly, being persecuted. But God lifted him up. And Elijah was probably saying to him, you'll be okay. You know, it might be very, very painful. The crucifixion is the worst thing to go through. But God is there in heaven. You'll be okay. And I think that must have encouraged Jesus. And there is a time for us to talk and to come alongside people and to give them encouragement in that way. This is another project that this parish helps through the children's resource, probably mostly down at Macra Hamlet. It's in a place called Lamjung in the Himalayas, very remote. And these two people, Hemanta and his wife Shova, they are directors of the hospital, and Shova is a counsellor, a psychosocial counsellor. So her role is to talk to people when they've been through traumas, and to help them get a bit of distance on it, just to work things through in their minds, and to help come to a better approach, how to deal with traumas. And these are the sort of traumas that happen quite frequently in the Himalayas. This is a road to Lamjung, and it's been hit with a landslide. So the normal flat road has turned into this sea of mud where even with a four-wheel drive, it's pretty difficult. And you can imagine on the edge of the road, it drops away for hundreds of feet. So it's pretty scary. And imagine if you were living near that landslide and all that mud and rocks came tumbling down. You see the distance? It's pretty traumatic and difficult to get through. And big craters in the road. So I don't know what kind of car you'll be driving me in, Robert, later, but you might struggle in Nepal unless you've got a big vehicle like that. And then if you're poorer and you don't have a big vehicle, you might be traveling like this. On your motorbike. So this is some of the issues you have in Nepal. Getting from A to B is not straightforward. And imagine if you're sick and you have to get to hospital, that's the only way to travel. It could be quite traumatic. This lady here, this was a photo sent to me by Hemanta. Her house was right on the edge of the hillside, and look, a whole of the side of her garden has collapsed due to the landslide. And I don't know, possibly someone in her family might have been injured or even died. There were many, many injuries at that time, which they took into the hospital. As a gentleman, you can see his trousers all covered in rubble. He was injured in that incident. So HDCS, the organization that has been supported through the children's project, the Lent project, they sent people to care in those contexts. And there is Hemanta's wife, Shova, and this lady here was somebody who asked for counseling. She had been through a very traumatic time, and her story is there in the report. And Shova just talked to her, just as Moses and Elijah came alongside Jesus and talked to him and encouraged him. So she went away with a spring in her step and said, okay, we're going to carry on and rebuild after this traumatic event. So that's just another thing to think about. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you've felt low, at a low ebb in your life. For me personally, my life seems to go like that. And last summer, I found that I was struggling to do what I normally do. I was struggling to pray. I was struggling to concentrate properly in work. I was suffering with poor sleep. And it just came to me, I think I need someone to talk to. And I went to the GP and I said, would there be any talking therapy I could access? And he said, well, a long waiting list, it's usually 3 months, but I'll put you down. But then I phoned up and said, if there's a cancellation, could you fit me in? And they said, okay, we'll put you on the list. And within 2 weeks, a cancellation happened and I got 6 weeks of counseling. And it really made a big difference to me. It helped me change a few things that had got a bit wonky to regain that balance. And now I'm back working fairly normally, apart from sleep still an issue. But the counseling really helped. So that's just something to think about. And if you ever find yourself in that situation, it's be ready to talk. And lastly, be ready to listen. At the end of the reading, there was a cloud came down over the disciples, and a voice said, this is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. And that's such a privilege we have as Christians, that we can open the Bible and read about what he said and hear from God through the scriptures. Hear from God as you come and worship here in church. Hear from God as you pray and listen to what God has got to say. These ladies here, that's Goma. They're in church. They worship on a Saturday in Nepal. That's just the way things are. But they would always be very, very prayerful. And the Bible is always taught, and it's a very key part of their life. So this was really aimed for the children in the other church, but I thought we'd do it together here too, because I like it, and I hope you do. It's a lovely song about being encouraged by the oil in the lamp, which is a symbol, really, isn't it, for God's spirit or for God's encouragement through the word. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. And I hope you know the tune for that. And then when we come to the second verse, it's actually in Nepali. Okay? And the words, I think, are in your sheet. Is that right, Rector? Yeah, I think so. Good-o. So let's have a wee practice. My Nepali is restricted to a few words, but I copied this down when I listened. They were singing this song when I was with them in church. So let's just, if I say a line, you can repeat it after me. So it's Miro Batima. Til Dinush Prabhu. Miro Batima Til I lay. Your turn. Miro Batima Til I lay. And again. Miro Batima Til Dinush Prabhu. Sorry, I'm going on to the next line. Let's just try the third time. Miro Batima Til Dinush Prabhu. This is quite hard, so I'll try it slowly. Tapai Aungel. Sama Jun Jo Ti. Great. I think we can manage that. Let's all stand and give it a go in English first.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Miro Batima Til Dinush Prabhu. Miro Batima Til I lay. Miro Batima Til Dinush Prabhu. Tapai Aungel Sama Dyun Jyoti.
Well done.
Gao Hosanna, Gao Hosanna, Gao Hosanna Raja Yeshu Ko. Gao Hosanna, Gao Hosanna, Gao Hosanna Yeshu Ko.
I was just going to say a wee prayer there, is that all right? Lord Jesus, we worship and thank you for your transfiguration, for the way you revealed God to us. We praise and thank you for our brothers and sisters in Nepal at Sundardoka Church and at the HDCS. And we ask you to help them today and always. And I pray for this congregation in Anahilt, that you would bless them and bless Robert. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Let us pray. Our God knows us and the temptations we face, so let us pray to him now. O God, as we prepare to begin this season of Lent, we ask you to remind us of what is important and what is not, of where we are wandering away and need to change, so that by Easter we will be renewed and strengthened for your service in the world. May the Church, bearing your image throughout the world, be changed from glory to glory, to towards the coming of your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for the hope we have in Jesus, for the strength to resist temptation and the joy and relief of forgiveness when we fall. Breathe holiness and dampening faith, breathe energy, inspire teaching and fervent praise, unblock the channels and make us more receptive to your gentleness and power. Lord, in your mercy. Our Heavenly Father, you know us, your children, so well and so completely. Knowing our weakness in the face of temptation, we ask for your strength and protection so that, though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong. We ask you to help us to see clearly and equip us with all we need to choose what is right. Give grace to us, our families, friends, and neighbors, to find you in the daily events of life. Be present with us when we are alone and when we are with others. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our governor, whose glory is in all the world, we commend to your merciful care the people and government of Ukraine, Gaza, Yemen, Syria, Iran, Iraq, and Myanmar. Guided by your providence, may they dwell secure in your peace. We stand alongside all who are suffering, whether in body, mind, or spirit, and long for your healing and comfort, your strength for perseverance, and your patience in dark times. We pray for those known to us who are sick at home or in hospital, and in particular, Martin Crawford and Beth Harrison. We pray too for the King, the Princess of Wales, and Sarah, Duchess of York. In all the changes and troubles of life, may we be assured of your everlasting protection. Lord, in your mercy. We remember those who have passed through the veil of death to behold your glory. Grant them peace and the perfection of the blessed. Creator God, Lord of life, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Heavenly Father,
in
darkness and in light, in trouble or in joy, help us to trust your love, to serve your purpose, and to praise your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gathering all our prayers and praises into one, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Glory to God, the source of all our mission.
Must be praised.
Let us pray.
Lord Jesus Christ, you emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant. Lord Jesus Christ, for our sake, you became poor.
May our lives be sacrificed to the Lord.
Let us say together,
be with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. May it live to the Son of your praise.
Establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Some leaflets on the table at the entrance door to the church about the work of CMS. If you would like to take one of those, please feel very free to do so. And also, following this service, there will be light refreshments in the parochial hall, served on this occasion by the Sunday School in support of the Church Missionary Society. So I do encourage you to go across, enjoy the fellowship, and support CFSI. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent, the official beginning of Lent. There will be a penitential service here in church at 7:30 p.m., 7:30. Also on Wednesday, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next is the first Sunday in Lent, parish communion at 10 o'clock. The register of vestry persons, that is the register of those entitled to stand and or vote at the Easter General Vestry meeting, is now being revised. The revision will take place following morning prayer on the last Sunday of this month, the 25th. In the meantime, if you are aged 18 years and over and haven't previously registered and subscribed to church funds, you may do so by filling up the appropriate form which is on the table at the entrance to the church. And the next family service will be in a month's time. That's Sunday, the 10th of March, which is Mothering Sunday. The recessional hymn, Go at the Call of God.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. Just before we sing the last hymn, For those of you who were in church last Sunday, you will have heard the rector made reference to the fact that last Sunday was the 30th anniversary of his installation to this parish. And this morning we're taking the opportunity to recognise the fact that the Reverend Canon Robert Howard, or Robert as he is commonly known to most of us, has been rector with us for 30 years. And I would take the opportunity, Robert, if you would come forward, please. Okay, so at this stage, I would just to congratulate you on your 30 years in this parish. And as a congregation, we wish to acknowledge your ministry to us, your prayers, your diligence, and your commitment to our parish. And I'd be grateful if you would accept this small token of our appreciation.
Well, Colin and everybody, it isn't often I'm caught out, but I have been this morning. As I say, I'm deeply touched and very grateful. Certainly wasn't expecting it, quite the contrary. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I kept so quiet about it before last Sunday, which was the actual day, is I wouldn't have wanted the parish to have felt any obligation to do something, but I think the fact that I have stayed so long, I hope, speaks for itself in that I have been tremendously happy in my ministry here. Very grateful for all your friendship and support. We are coming near the Easter Vestry, so I'm still looking for people to help me. But that apart, really, I'm overwhelmed, and thanks very much indeed. Thank you. Hold and lead us.